From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Susan Yawkey reporting. Taliban claims responsibility for Afghan bombing. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for another deadly suicide car bombing in Afghanistan, a day after a series of terrorist blasts killed more than 50 people in and near Kabul. In a statement sent to VOA, the Taliban says it was behind Saturday's explosion in the Khanabad district of the northern Kunduz province. Afghan officials said today that the death toll from the blast had risen to 29. Most of the dead were members of a pro-government militia. The Afghan capital is nervous and people are on edge. Pakistan says the spike in deadly terrorist attacks underscores the need for peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban. Our correspondent in Islamabad, Ayaz Ghul, has this report.
Afghans are once again pointing fingers at Pakistan, alleging their neighbor is not preventing the Taliban from using its territory for staging the attacks. Pakistani National Security Advisor Sartaj Aziz has dismissed those charges, saying there are all kinds of militant factions operating in Afghanistan, making it difficult to ascertain who is behind the bloodshed. Pakistan brokered and hosted inaugural talks between Afghan government and Taliban officials in early July, but Mullah Umar's death prompted the insurgent group to pull out of the next round of negotiations. Aziz says Pakistan can persuade the Taliban to re-engage in talks with the Afghan government only after the group resolves its leadership problem. Ayaz Ghul for VOA News, Islamabad.
We invite you to come by our website anytime for the latest news, features, and to listen to our programs. This is VOA News. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi has proposed eliminating the positions of vice president and deputy prime minister as part of a series of reforms to reduce corruption and improve government. Mr. Abadi announced the proposals today following weeks of protests against mismanagement and a lack of services, including not providing consistent electricity. Heavy rains continue today in southeastern China, where the remnants of Typhoon Soldalar moved further inland, leaving flooding and at least 14 people dead. The typhoon pounded Taiwan the day before. Rob Jennings reports from Taipei.
Typhoon Soldalar reached the southeast coast of China Saturday with heavy rain and sustained winds of 90 kilometers per hour. The same storm, the worst on record so far in 2015, ripped off roofs and sent signboards flying in Taiwan earlier Saturday, as wind speeds reached up to 67 meters per second. Li Wei-sun, Secretary General of the government's National Science and Technology Center for Disaster Reduction, says the worst-hit area is the mountainous tourist district of Wulai, south of the capital Taipei.
We need some operation to maintain supply and to see any medical need in that district, so that is the most urgent thing right now.
The 6,100 people in Wulai were among 4 million in Taiwan who lost electrical power, and some were still waiting Sunday for it to be restored. Ralph Jennings for VOA News, Taipei.
Israel responded further to Jewish extremists today by arresting suspects in West Bank settlements and placing two high-profile radicals under a type of detention that allows for holding them for 6 months without charges. Police said the raids were linked to recent events in the West Bank, but did not say how many suspects they detained. The crackdown on extremists follows a July 31st firebombing in the West Bank that killed an 18-month-old Palestinian and his father, while also wounding his mother and brother. A Washington Post correspondent held in Iran for more than a year will have a final hearing in his case on Monday, the newspaper's executive editor said, potentially bringing to a close the process that has drawn condemnation from the press freedom groups and U.S. officials. Martin Barron said in a statement Saturday that the lawyer for Jason Razian, the Post correspondent in Tehran since 2012, was told that the closed-door session in Iran's Revolutionary Court would be the last before the verdict. Several hundred people commemorating the police shooting last year of an unarmed black teenager marched Saturday in the central U.S. city of Ferguson, Missouri. Civil rights activists and religious leaders converged on the largely African-American town to mark the anniversary. The marchers were led by the father and family of Michael Brown, the 18-year-old who was shot. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.